Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
This is a Triple M footy news update.
This is massive, this story.
Not a little exclusive.
With Tom Brown.
It's Friday, June the 4th, which means, of course, it's time for another Triple M footy news update with Tom Brown. My name's Rudy. I've got Tommy on the phone. We're talking some bizarre directives out of Adelaide, the Crows and some face mask issues. We're going to be talking about the massive Dreamtime in Perth game. Tommy, how are you going up there in Sydney, mate?
Yeah, it's good in Sydney, Rudy. Obviously, the time and length I'll be here for, I guess now, depends on the Queen's birthday. But we'll get to that shortly. But it was very funny yesterday. I think it was the Chief Health Officer in Adelaide had this to say two consecutive days running regarding, this is a bit of a balls up, Rudy, pardon the pun, the Sharon.
If you are at Adelaide Oval and the ball comes towards you, my advice to you is to duck and just do not touch that ball. Regardless of COVID, this ball has been touched by many sweaty men out there on the field. Just go and sanitise your hands before you start eating your chips.
So the official advice coming from the South Australian Health Officer, Chief Health Officer Nicola Spurrier, is not to touch the balls as they've been handled by sweaty men, Tom.
No, they left the first couple of rows of the seating at Adelaide Oval over the weekend free, so hopefully no one will touch the balls. But if they do happen to touch the football, Rudy, there's some very clear instructions there, revised instructions, sanitise, then eat your chips, because, look, anything could happen. It's quite funny. It's one of the grabs of the year.
Yeah, look, no one wants sweaty chips, I think it's fair to say, Tommy. On the subject...
Well, no one wants sanitised sweaty chips.
Well, that's true. On the subject of... Adelaide, actually, their footy team, the Crows, are in a little bit of hot water this morning. There's an AFL investigation, Tom.
Yeah, this story, I think, was broken by a caller on Triple M this morning, which led to the AFL investigation. There's a suggestion that on the Crows flight from Sydney back to Adelaide on Sunday, a couple of players weren't wearing masks. Look, if that's in breach of the government regulations, then Adelaide should cop some type of sanction. But I think everyone, I realise these things are important, Rudy, but everyone's just learning to adapt to these latest regulations, and I'm sure the AFL will work through that pragmatically. I don't think anyone would have intended to cause any harm. Having said that, we've got to follow the health regulations, and the AFL are working through that as we speak.
That's right. You do have to take these breaches seriously.
I don't think it's the world's biggest story, Rudy, but having said that, maybe I'm out of step with that.
Oh, well, look, I think they're the kind of things you've got to take. You've got to take these regulations seriously. That's the world we live in, I think. So no matter how minor they may be, everything has to be investigated. Let's talk Dreamtime, Tommy. So Richmond, they've flown out to Perth and their skipper's gone with them.
Yeah, so Richmond's flown out from Sydney this morning for the trip across the Nullarbor. 5 hours, I think it is, from Sydney to Perth. I've flown it a couple of times, and Trent Cotchin, importantly, was with the side, and it appears that he will play in the Dreamtime game. His wife, Brooke, posted a picture of their daughter at the hospital. I think it was on Tuesday night, and Trent had to consider whether he wanted to come home to Victoria. I think Brooke indicated that their daughter insisted or encouraged Trent just to keep playing. And Damien Hardwick spoke about, you know, the mental anguish yesterday, I guess, or the stress of having your daughter unwell when you're stuck working interstate. I mean, a lot of our listeners would relate to that. It's not nice. So our thoughts with Trent, but it looks like he'll play this weekend. And he flew out with the Tigers this morning. Just from a Tigers sort of news point of view, Damien Hardwick indicated yesterday they will go with three talls plus a ruck, which is the latest sort of, not experiment, but thing he's trying from a tall's point of view. Shane Edwards is back in the side after driving to Sydney, passing his COVID test and overcoming his ankle injuries. That's good news as far as Shane Edwards is concerned. And the Tigers have flown out this morning, Rudy.
Mm. And the team they take on, Essendon, what's news over there?
So the Bombers have obviously been and had the luxury of being in Perth all week. I should add that when Richmond get to Perth this afternoon, they will face hotel lockdown, I think similar to what Collingwood is experiencing at the moment. The only reasons they can leave the hotel is for training and playing. All their food, all the catering, all those types of things, they can't leave to get shopping or anything like that. It's all got to be done within the hotel. So they will face some strict conditions. But as for the Bombers, they've obviously been in Perth throughout the week. They've been visiting schools. They've obviously had a better preparation in terms of just being able to do more stuff. Not a very technical term, but they can just do more things.
Yeah.
Michael Long arrived for the long walk and spoke to us on 7 News briefly yesterday. And he also, I can tell you, addressed the Essendon staff and players, which is obviously a touching and a great aspect to this, what's going to be a wonderful game over there in the West. And we also had some great shots on the news last night of the stadium, which has an incredible light show, as you know, with all the Tigers lights and the Bombers lights. It's unusual not seeing the West Coast colours, but it's going to look awesome tomorrow night, the AFL and Essendon. It's Essendon's home game. Essendon really got the local media behind this, pushing for this early in the week. And the Perth public, who are so knowledgeable and passionate about football, have got behind it. And it really is, it's just going to be an awesome night.
Yeah, it's something, obviously I have no plans here in Melbourne lockdown, but I'd have been cancelling plans to watch this one because it's going to be an absolute cracker.
An important game too, because the Bombers, I think, could go above the Tigers if they beat them, which would be a pretty incredible situation. So
yeah,
it's going to be a great game.
Indeed. We'll discuss that at greater length just in a sec. But before we do, Tommy, Collingwood, Nathan Buckley, what's happening there?
Yeah, so Nathan Buckley's future is going to become already is a big talking point in the next couple of weeks. Graham Wright was on the radio yesterday on SEN, didn't sort of give a revised timeline on considering Bucks' future. But I think the players, I can report, Rudy, are going to have a persuasive say in this, because I think the next stage of Graham Wright's investigations, I've heard from a player-based source, is that he's going to talk to the players and they're going to give feedback on Bucks. So if what you read is true, if the players are a little bit off Bucks, I guess that'll come through in the feedback, and it won't necessarily form Wright's recommendations, but I think the players are going to have a big say in all this, and I think that work is happening behind the scenes at the moment. So that's quite important. The other thing that's happened with Bucks in the recent days, if you like, is that Jeff Brown, who for full disclosure is my dad, has indicated that he doesn't expect the club to go into caretaker mode. If that EGM paperwork is lodged, the club can continue to make its decision. So the club will, you'd expect, alongside Bucks, make a decision on his coaching future within the next two, three, four weeks. And I do think that if they lose to Adelaide and then subsequently to Melbourne, you'd have to think that at 2-11, it would be difficult to recontract him. But that's just an opinion. It's not necessarily a fact. It's up to Graham Wright and the Collingwood board.
Indeed. Speaking of Collingwood and Melbourne next week, any intel on where that's actually going to be played, Tom?
Yeah, Adelaide or Sydney, Rudy. I spoke to Gary Pert, Melbourne's CEO, yesterday, interviewed him for our news, and they're still working through that with both state governments. Obviously, the preference would have been to have it at the MCG in front of a huge crowd, which would have earned Melbourne up to, well, $800,000. Melbourne also lost out on $800,000 from not having the Alice Springs game on tonight. So they're $1.6 at least. In fact, Gary Pert said $1.8 million to me yesterday down the gurgler over 2 weeks COVID losses, which is just incredible. But obviously the MND game is much more than money, and everyone acknowledges that. It's a great celebration. Neil Danaher and his and the contribution towards motor neuron disease. And I think Seven, I can't speak for Seven, I honestly don't know, but I think they'd be obviously looking at a way where perhaps you could have the slide broadcast still and keep that going to raise money and then have the game interstate. Obviously, Adelaide Oval would offer bigger capacity, but query how many people you get. That's obviously what the AFL will be working through. And then there's the economics of having it in Sydney. I think you'd get a good crowd in Sydney, but again, the SCG capacity is less. So those two things are being weighed up. Sydney offer better access in and out of the state. And I'm assured by the AFL overnight that Melbourne will get back to Melbourne tomorrow morning from Sydney, where they're playing tonight. Obviously, a giant stadium against Brisbane in this blockbuster. Mm-hmm. But Melbourne can get back tomorrow morning, and they'd have to get back again next week, either into Adelaide or into Sydney. So there's some complexities around all that. So that's what the AFL is working through at the moment.
Yes. Lots and lots to get through there. That's a tough blow for Melbourne. I hadn't heard those figures there. Absolutely.
Yeah, they're huge figures, and they're flying undefeated. Gary Pert's got them, flying on and off the field. And I know a lot of businesses in Melbourne are doing it terribly tough, individuals at the moment, but I guess that just sums up, the impact that these types of restrictions can have on businesses and people.
Well, yeah, that's, and that is the thing as well, isn't it, that you've got to weigh up is if they win the next two, then that softens the blow, really, in a sense, doesn't it?
It does. From a footy perspective, they're flying, but just from a pure economics perspective, I mean, they'll have to get a distribution from the AFL and they'll have to work that out at the end of the year. But it is funny, Rudy, because only a couple of weeks ago, I think it was last Tuesday, the CEOs, the club's bosses all had a meeting and they were talking about the economics for the next 3-4 years, how the competition was going to get back basically the money it's lost. And we were doing stories on the news about the relatively low crowds in Melbourne compared to the other states, which were flying, like Perth and Sydney are generating, almost pre-COVID crowds. But now the Melbourne crowds look incredible a couple of weeks ago, don't they? So it just shows you how these things can change so quickly.
Yes, indeed. It's a fast-changing landscape. That's for absolute sure. Now, before we go, Tommy, we just like to pick out the teams who it's going to be a big weekend for. And I tell you what, you touched on it before, Richmond and Essendon. Like you said, if Essendon beat Richmond here and they appear, it's not as unlikely as, you'd
it's
have thought
a
few weeks ago.
No one expects them to make finals. It's a development year, but just keep getting seemingly better and better. For Richmond, they played okay, particularly in the second half against Adelaide last week, I think it was.
Yep.
And look, Richmond really need to win just to keep this glimmer of top four hopes alive. So that's a huge game. My nomination, Rudy, is Carlton. I'm actually going off to a Carlton sponsorship announcement in the city now where a lot of the players are going to talk, and I'm actually going to speak to Kane Little for tonight's news. And I want to sort of find out what their expectations are. I mean, if they go down again this weekend, they're playing West Coast. They won't make finals realistically. And I reckon their development and the situation with Teague and the coaching situation, there's just so many unanswered questions there. So I'm looking forward to speaking with them this afternoon.
Well, I mean, it's arguably as big a game for West Coast. They're actually outsiders in this one. They haven't won at the SCG since 1999, West Coast. And the pedigree they're missing via injury is obviously pretty massive as well. Carlton are actually favourites in this one, so it's a huge game for both clubs.
And obviously, Rudy, it's another big game for Collingwood this weekend. I mean, they face the prospect of potentially going 2-10 hostile Adelaide crowd. And they've had not an ideal preparation either. I mean, geez, Bucks must be wondering. It'd be about time something goes right for them. They've spent last night at half the playing group in a hotel, and most of the playing group in quarantine conditions will spend tonight in a hotel as well. So it hasn't been an ideal preparation, really, for this hit-and-run mission to Adelaide.
Well, last time they had not ideal preparation in a COVID-affected game, mate, you might remember they won a classic final. So don't write them off the Pies. Just don't write them off.
Grundy and Adams are two pretty big outs.
Yeah, it's a big ask. It's a really big ask. So I think we should leave it there, Tommy. We'll be back Monday morning to chat about all the fallout from this weekend. Make sure you listen to all the Triple M footy stuff over the weekend on the Listener app, starting tonight with that monster Melbourne-Brisbane blockbuster at Giants Stadium with Howie, Das, Chief, Brownie, Damo, Ash Chua, and of course yourself, Tommy Brown, on the boundary.
I'll be on the boundary. I'm going to get rugged up tonight, Rudy. It's a bit cool up here, so I'm looking forward. That should be an absolute blockbuster tonight. I know it's not at the venue we intended, but Melbourne-Brisbane, two of the most informed teams in the competition. I can't wait.
Indeed. So make sure you stay across all that. We'll see you again Monday morning, Tommy. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks, mate.